Let's just take another moment, lift him high, just a moment longer. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus promised that if we would bring all of our burdens to him, that he would give us rest. Can you feel that rest here tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours this evening, we want you to feel at home here at Calvary Gospel Church. If you're a guest of ours online, welcome. We encourage you to take a few minutes of your time and fill out a connection card. If you haven't gotten one of those from the usher or the greeter, please feel free to go to the kiosk when you get an opportunity on the way out, perhaps, to grab one of these connection cards, fill it out, and we have a small gift for you to show our appreciation for your being our guest here this evening. Also, you can go online and go to the Bitly link and fill out your information there if you would. Want to make you aware of our giving options. If you're worshiping today in person, you can drop it off in the offering box on the kiosk, or you can give online, cgcmadison.org/giving. Of course, you can always use our mailing address, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give, and the number is there on the screen. You can still give to Christmas for Christ. They will take your money, but the last official offering date is arrived. But please, remember, Move the Mission is reaching souls all around the world, helping missionaries and resident missionaries, resident pastors, establish churches where there were no churches before. So please consider giving to Move the Mission. Amen. Next week, Friday, September 10th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock in the main sanctuary. Amen. Praise God. And then we have a very special announcement. Sunday, September 12th, New Life classes begin again. New Life classes are back starting on the 12th at 10 a.m. teaching session. Life classes 101, 201, and 301 will be starting up again. If you have recently been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, or if it has been a while, like during the pandemic, that we haven't had classes, and you have during that time been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and or filled with the Holy Ghost, this is the next step in your growth, in your progress, in your walk with God. If you want to be a volunteer at Calvary Gospel Church, this is the next step for you. And at each level of ministry, you're able to progress through New Life classes in order to meet the requirements for every level of ministry. So please consider that. Consider being a part of the ministry here. Whatever your gifts, whatever your talents, God wants to use you for His kingdom. And then also, the completion of each class qualifies you for certain ministry opportunities. And if you have just graduated from high school, this is the next step for you. You are grandfathered in through 101, but you're also invited then to join the 201 class. And if you're unsure of whether or not you have completed certain classes or where you stand as far as this process, contact Sister Stephanie Thompson. I thought they were here tonight. I'm probably looking in the wrong place, but talk to Sister Thompson about that. Please stand. We want to pray. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kevin Malling has a prayer request. I think he's here. Okay, if you don't mind, gentlemen, gathering around him. He's recently had surgery. He's recovering from a surgery. I want to pray for him. Let's also keep in mind our pastor and his wife and our sectional presbyter, the Jacobses, and the Jacobs family. They're all traveling together on vacation. Let's pray for safety, that God's rest would be with them as well. Pray for this service this evening. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your hand upon each one of us here. We know, God, that you are with us. You have promised to never leave us. We're grateful, Lord, that we can come into the house of God and share fellowship with one another, but also share fellowship with your sweet presence. We ask, oh God, for your blessing on the remainder of this service, that our worship and our prayers and our preaching may be an honor and a blessing to you, but that it may be also used by you to minister to everyone in our house and everyone online. that your name can be glorified, that your purpose can be fulfilled. We pray for Brother Kevin, even now, oh God, work in his mind, in his body, in his spirit, oh God, for healing and for recovery. Let your virtue flow through him, oh God. Let faith, oh God, fill his mind and heart and spirit as the word of the Lord ministers to him. We pray, oh God, for our pastor Roy and sister Lois and for the Jacobs family, oh God, that as they travel, that you would let your angels go before them and behind them and on every side. Keep them safe, oh God, and give them great blessing as they travel, that they may find rest, not only in their body, but rest in their spirit and in their soul as they fellowship with you and with one another. We pray, God, bring them back safely. We pray for all of our children, oh God, that have begun classes in this last week or two, that your blessing would be upon the children in their classrooms and upon the parents as they rearrange their households according to the school schedules, that every member of the body of Christ that is directly affected by this new school year will be anointed and blessed and directed by you so that it can be, that they can all serve you wherever they are, in whatever school, whatever situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you.
In a broken, fallen world. God knows all about it. He robed himself in flesh and he dwelt amongst us. And when he had completed the work here on earth, he ascended back into heaven. But he sent his spirit to dwell inside of us. Inside of us, we have become the temple of the holy, living God through his spirit. And we, the church, we are what they see in Jesus in this frail world. And if the gospel is to be taught, if it's to be preached, if it's to be shared, it will only be done through you and through me. Our key verse tonight, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And you may be seated. As I wrestled with two messages that the Lord had given me, the first one I talked to Pastor about on Sunday, and it was to teach us to study and the fruit of study. I've been studying the book of Acts for a class that I'm teaching, and I am overwhelmed with the book of Acts. If you've not really dug it apart, I would encourage you, if you want to be encouraged in today's world, it's more than Acts 2:38. There is so much richness. It is a book of edification and encouragement. It is the Acts of the Apostles. But as I began to pray about the message this morning, the Lord confirmed in my devotions, it starts out like this. And maybe this isn't you, but sometimes it is me, especially since 2020. Do you ever get discouraged? Are you ever tempted to lose heart? If you are, you certainly are not alone. Paul was almost certainly tempted himself to lose heart, and he wrote to other Christians who were also tempted to do so. Yet Paul wrote, "We do not lose heart." 2 Corinthians 4:1-16. Paul explains that that is because in Jesus we have received a treasure. The treasure is the message of Jesus himself alive in us. It's because the message that Paul has to proclaim is so amazing that he starts and ends by saying, therefore, we do not lose heart. Yet the treasure is inward and unseen. Paul describes it as being in jars of clay. That's us. Our culture emphasizes the outward and the seen. The media is dominated by physical beauty and outward success. The Bible stresses the importance of the inward and unseen, the beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes that determine our behavior. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The invisible is eternal. The second confirmation was this morning. Brother Rufus Parker sends us a thought each day and a word of encouragement. And today he sent, when you are in the front lines of battle, remember the Bible is your love letters from home. This world, it's not our home. We're just passing through. Heaven is our home. This is what our goal is. This is what we are preparing for. It was inspired by Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Tonight, I feel like the message the Lord has given us, you for me, is unseen treasure, the message of Jesus. And Sister Abby, I couldn't have picked out better songs than what you picked tonight. Every one of those songs, 1, 2, 3, confirmations that the Lord is wanting us to hear this word tonight. May God be glorified in us. Jesus, I pray that you would have your way tonight. As you speak to our hearts, to our minds, we would be sensitive to the prompting, the unction of your Spirit. Lord, you said that your word would not come back void, but that it would do that which you sent it to do. So tonight, God, I'm perfectly fine. If you want to shut my lips and you have more that you want to speak elsewhere, God, I allow you to do it. Because, Lord, though I prepared all of this, it's for naught. If the unction and the anointing of your Spirit is not in this, and it is not for us tonight. So, Lord, I yield it to you. I give it back to you. And, God, I pray that your anointing would be upon me and that you would help me to speak what you have given me from the depths of my heart. And that, God, your word would do that which you sent it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing and getting things together, I first went to 1 Kings 17, 1 through 11. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Can you imagine? Man, you're just sitting by a brook refreshing yourself and you're waiting on the Lord and a bird is bringing you bread and you're getting water from the brook and everything is provided. And man, what a life. You would think that would be everything. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. It's almost parallel with Damascus. I don't know if Rachel was able to get the map up, but I had looked it up on a map. And I remember when we were teaching at Rolling Prairie and Brother Kasky was with us and he had pointed out the traveling that Elijah did to get where Elijah needed to go to get to Zarephath. And it was quite a journey for him because he was in a whole different, in the lower part of the country and had to get all the way up to the top. And it's parallel with Damascus, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. What I didn't read to you was that this woman had gotten up that morning and she went to her cupboard and she had no oil. She was out of oil. She had a little bit of meal. And what she did is she went, she took her little vial that she keeps her oil in, and she went into the marketplace. And as she went into the marketplace, people were bumping her, and she's walking, and she's going, and she's trying to find just a little bit of oil, just enough to take home to fill this vessel. And as she went in, she would go to the keeper and say, do you have some oil? No, we're all out. Do you have some oil? No, we're all out. Do you have some oil? No, we're all out. And all of a sudden, someone comes up behind her, and the vial falls, and it shatters. Her dreams, her hopes, her future shattered on the ground. What will I do now? She wondered. My little boy, my son, he's home. I told him I would come home and I would feed him. I have nothing in the house to feed him. What will I do? And so what did she do with the little bit of oil that was at home? She knew she had to go home. She began to gather up sticks. And as she pulled up those sticks, she knew in her heart that she was going to go home and build a fire so she could prepare their last meal so they could die because there was no food in the land. There was a famine. And you know, every time I read that story, I think of our world and I think, God, what if I went to pick and save and there was no oil? What if I went to pick and save and there was no milk? What if I went and there was no fruit and no vegetables? Oh, God, what would we do? What would we do if there was nothing? But you see, as this woman was out there and she was gathering up her sticks, God knew what was to come, and he sent a man named Elijah, a prophet. And Elijah came up to that woman as he saw her gathering sticks, and he said, fetch me some water. And she looked at him like, fetch you water? Do you realize I have nothing? Oh, and while you're at it, make me a cake. A cake? I don't have enough. And then she spoke and she said, sir, I have no water and I have no oil. I don't have enough but to make one cake for my son and I. I plan to go home and prepare it so that we would die. And Elijah said, go home. And he went back to the house with her, and her little boy comes running out, and he comes out and says, Mama, I'm so hungry. What are you cooking? And she says, oh, it'll be ready in just a few minutes, as she goes to the kitchen and she's pouring the oil and she's making the meal and she's baking the meal that she's preparing. And the little boy is anxiously waiting, and he goes over and he crawls up on Elijah's lap, and he's talking to the man of God, and he's telling him about this new wooden toy that he has, or maybe what his goal is or what he's going to do when he grows up. I don't know what they did. I really don't. I'm just giving you my version of what I imagine when we have people at our home, what we do. And Elijah's sitting there calmly waiting, and the smell is wafting, and the little boy's like, oh, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten today. I'm so hungry. And he thinks, oh, maybe I didn't eat last night either. Well, maybe we didn't eat yesterday. Oh, but we're going to eat today, and it smells so good. And the mother calls her little boy into the kitchen, and she hands him the cake and says, son, take this to the man. Oh, there must be more in the kitchen. So he goes and he gives the prophet the cake. And I'm sure that this mother must have been thinking in her heart, I just gave my son's last meal away. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then Elijah said, go back to the kitchen. And she went into the kitchen, And she picked up the vial that she had in the kitchen with a little drop of oil. And she began to pour it. And she opened the canister of meal, and there was meal. And she kept pouring and kept preparing and making meal. And just as the prophet had spoken, though there was a famine in the land throughout that entire famine, she never went without eating, and neither did her little boy. Because she obeyed, she trusted, she had faith. John 4:4-18 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Sound familiar? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. I have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. She was so thirsty. She was so thirsty. She would have done whatever he told her to do. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Jesus had to go to Samaria. Jesus opened the door for all of us to receive his spirit, his promise, his gift. Samaria was at odds with the Jews. They were enemies. They were the dogs. They were the people that nobody could stand. Their stench would just cause them to walk by them. They wanted nothing to do with those people because they were not a Jew and because they were the Samaritans. But you see, Jesus said he needed to go there. He told his disciples, he went out of his way to go to Samaria, just as Elijah went out of his way to go where this widow was. Jesus is calling us today to go out of our way. Acts 8:26-39, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, also Isaiah, and said, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And as he was expounding to the eunuch what he was reading, the eunuch recognized Jesus. He recognized that Isaiah was prophesying Jesus. Philip did not expound anything but Jesus. He didn't get into a great theological debate. He didn't get into all kinds of things. He didn't get into the Greek. And I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. I like to do it sometimes. I'm not very good at it. My husband buys me all these things, and he most of the time is the one that kind of has to guide me through it. But what we need to do is preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is all about Jesus. And I so much appreciated every song that we sang tonight because it was about Jesus. And so as he went and he explained it, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And what had happened was the eunuch had said to Philip, "What does hinder me from being baptized?" He recognized his need to be baptized. He wasn't going to wait. It was going to happen tonight or today or whatever time of day it was. He wasn't going to wait. And so here they are in the desert. There was water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is not my writing that I'm going to share with you, but I found it insightful as I was studying out about Philip, and I was sharing this with Bishop, I think it was Saturday, and I said, you know, I didn't realize till I started teaching this class and digging in deeper with, and Brother Caskey, I'm sorry. But as I was studying, I did not realize that Philip, this Philip was the evangelist Philip, though I knew he was an evangelist, but I didn't know he wasn't the same Philip, the apostle, the disciple. And so as you study and you begin to get into the Word of God, there's just nuggets and things that you begin to find out. But in Acts, Philip, the evangelist, conducted a mission in Samaria and significantly increased the number of Christian believers there. There was followed by the apostolic visitation of Peter and John, who were sent by the elders in Jerusalem to lay hands upon the baptized Samaritans so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And he preached and reportedly performed miracles in Samaria and met and baptized an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, traditionally marking the start of the Ethiopian church. Acts 8:26-39. Jesus said, I needs go through Samaria. Who paved the way? Jesus did. Jesus has paved the way for us today. He has paved the way for us. There is no reason that we cannot go out and be a light to our world. Here we see three accounts. There's lots more. But we see three accounts of two lives, separate and apart, that God brought together. As this woman was gathering her sticks for her last meal, she was approached by a stranger with a need. They both had a need. Elijah wasn't without a need. He was thirsty. He needed water. He was hungry. He traveled a long way. And as she was approached, the miracle was in her giving. She gave all she had. Though not much in perhaps our estimation, but it was her all. And as her son awaited at home, she pressed through the crowd looking for that oil. And though strangers passed her, there was none to be found to help her. Not one. Not one person took the time to say, can I help you, ma'am? What do you need? Oh, I'm sorry. I bumped your arm. I broke your vial. Can I replace that? No, everybody was taking care of themselves. Everybody was making sure that they were taken care of. But she pressed and she kept holding on. And then there was the woman at the well that Jesus approached. He wasn't afraid to approach her. No, he went to her, and he confronted her, I guess. I guess it'd be a confrontation. He said, no, you spoke well. You've had five husbands. And I read this just as I was preparing this week. The woman at the well had been divorced five times, and Jesus still used her. Don't let people count you out because you have a complicated past. Jesus came to preserve your future. just as he came to preserve the future of the Samaritans. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus went to Samaria, because he had a generations to come to preserve. And today, don't let what has happened in your life or your past or what has complicated your life, don't let it single you out from serving God and for being the light that God has called us to be. The message is unseen. The message is Jesus. But the miracle that is within us is unseen, because you cannot see the Holy Ghost inside of us, but you can see the evidence of the Holy Ghost all around us. And though your life has been complicated, though you have struggles, today I worked. I had tried to get off, but we're so short at work, I couldn't get the day off. I always like to be off when I know I'm going to teach or I'm going to speak, because I just like to spend the day in prayer. I like to study and get my thoughts together. But the Lord, it just didn't happen. And I got off about 5 after 56 phone calls and I don't know how many COVID questions. And just today was just one of those days. But you know, I'm a light. I'm on my job. I'm taking care of people every day, whether they're in person or on the phone. And you know, as we allow God to use us, inside of us are unseen treasures, treasures that our world needs to see. Young people, when you go to school, you've got an unseen treasure inside of you. Don't hide it. Let Jesus out. Let Jesus out. No, you don't have to preach a message. No, you don't have to give them a big documentary. You just simply have to reach out and show them you care. Reach out and say, do you need anything? Can I pray for you? What can I do? And as this woman continued to seek the Lord, she went back and she witnessed. She witnessed to all those Samaritans. She didn't hold it into herself. This Samaritan woman, who was considered a dog to the Jews, went back and she talked to the people about what God had done. And then in Samaria, here he is, Philip, back in Samaria. He was preaching a revival. And as Philip was there, God took him to this eunuch, to a man who didn't understand the word of God, though he wanted to. He wanted to know more about it. You know, we're going to come across family members. We're going to come across relatives. We're going to come across people that we know on our jobs who are going to come to us, just as we heard on Sunday, powerful, powerful word of God. And what God used this young man for on his job. Who would have thought? Who would have thought in the military, in a tent? That I so appreciated that testimony. My husband and I are veterans. We served in the military, and to hear your testimony, that's how we got one to the Lord, was in the military. So I thank God that your light shined, and look at what God did. Just read your word. Get into your Bible. Know your word. The book of Acts is a great place to start. It will encourage you. It will edify you. It is so powerful. And the more that I read the book of Acts, the more my heart is churned, because I'm thinking, God, I'm just not doing this stuff. Okay, Lord, you said miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow them that believe. God, I believe you. So what do I need to do? Where do I need to be? How do I get there? I want to be in that place under that unction, that anointing. There was a great divide between them, between these people, and their miracle was in the meeting the need of another. They had never met, but their lives would be forever changed. Both had been broken, but they had not been forgotten, nor were they overlooked by God. God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows where you've been. He knows the choices you've made. He even knows the choices we're going to make. But you know, with God, there are no ordinary days. It wasn't just an ordinary day. When God is in it, this is the day that God hath made. God created this day. A few more steps and their destinies would collide. As Elijah walked into town, he saw the woman. He didn't know her need, but he knew what he needed. Jesus went to the well. He saw the woman. I'm sure Jesus knew her need. But he went to the well because he needed water. He was thirsty. He could have gotten it for himself. He could have spoke it. But he asked another human being to get it for him so he could introduce to her everlasting life. And then the eunuch. He was reading the word of God, but God used a man to teach him the word of God. The widow had a choice to make. She could hide her need or she could share her need. She opted to honestly tell the prophet of her need. And you know, sometimes we do that. We have a need, but we hide it. We don't share it. We don't say it. Our world is the same way. They have a need. They don't know how to express it. Many of them probably don't even know what it is they don't know or what they have need of. But if we would openly be honest with God and we tell him what we need, God is filled with compassion. He will hear what we have need of. I don't know if Elijah knew of her great need. I don't know if God revealed it to him. The Bible doesn't necessarily say that. But as he followed her home, he asked her to take care of her. And he gladly received the offering, a sacrificial offering. It was not only her all, but also it was that of the son that she loved. It wasn't just her. God uses people to minister to people. He takes our pain, our brokenness. He anoints us and he brings a miracle into a seemingly hopeless situation. Life can be like a drought, keeping us thirsty like the cruise of oil, or like the cruise of oil in constant need of a spirit to give us strength, power, and revelation. And like the meal, giving us sustenance through his word and guiding us through life. God uses people and their resources or lack thereof to meet the needs of those around us. God allows us to be broken under his watchful eye that we can fulfill his purpose and impact the lives of the people in our neighborhood, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. In our weaknesses, we are made strong in him. He is never far away, and he is as close as the mention of his name. His name. Jesus bids you come to the wells of everlasting water. Have your sins been remitted? If you've never been baptized, I'm encouraging you tonight, take that step. Be baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Allow God to wash your sins away and to take on his name in baptism. You will never regret it. Maybe you've come today feeling broken, confused, emptied out, with little to give. You're not alone. Life is a process, and it has ebbs and flows. We see God's handiwork as he moves in the lives of people, using our brokenness, our weaknesses, to minister to one another and to others. It's when we have been emptied out and we seemingly have no more to give that God will send a miracle to strengthen us and to strengthen somebody else who, like the woman at the well, needs to drink from the well of living water and know things. With God, there are no ordinary days. Today, don't let it be another ordinary day. With God, there is a bigger picture, his kingdom. What God sees and what we see are so different. What would the church be like if we just let Jesus do his work through us? If we just said, Lord, here I am. Pour me out. Fill me up, God. Use me. What would it be like if I followed him all day, every day? It would be miraculous. It would amount to just ministering to people. It really would. That's what our lives would be filled with, ministering to others. If just for one moment we could alleviate just a little of one's suffering pain, their burden, their despair, bringing hope to the hopeless, speaking a word of encouragement, compelling the one that's lagging, that they can make it. It would, as Elijah did, as he met the widow woman of Zarephath in the marketplace, as she gathered up sticks to prepare what she thought would be her last meal. It would be as when Jesus met the woman from the well, that would never run dry. It would be as Philip expounded the word of God to a eunuch who responded in obedience when he heard the words of an evangelist. It would be realizing that with God, there are no ordinary days. It would be touching the life of another human being, one life at a time, and looking at others through the eyes of compassion. Before every miracle, Jesus was moved with compassion. It might come in a kind word, a thoughtful gesture, a home-cooked meal, rest for a weary soul, a hug or a smile. If we don't read God's word and pray, we won't understand God's capacity for love. This is his love letters to his people. Jesus, teach us to study. Let the fruit of study be life to our bones as well as those around us. Like Elijah, to supply for the thirsting of a soul for his purpose, or like the widow with a great need and looking for one to provide. Tonight, I would invite you, and I'd ask our musicians to come, but I would invite you, if you would stand. If you've never been baptized and you want to be baptized, you can be baptized tonight. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, or maybe you want to be renewed or refilled, I invite you, come. If you just want to come and to pray and to gather together, however you feel comfortable, I invite you to come. I do know that I've made up my mind, and COVID or no COVID, the end or not. I mean, we know the end is coming, but whatever happens, I do know three things that I hope that I have done at the end of my life: fought the fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Because when Jesus comes, he said, will he find faith on the earth? Don't let your faith wane now. We've been in this too long. We fought too hard. There's been so many battles. Don't give in now. I beg you, church, hold on with everything you've got. And if you're barely holding on, grab hold of somebody's coat and pull them. Pull them. Pull them. But hold on. Don't give up now. Young people, to my children, to my grandchildren, and now my great-grandchildren, hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Jesus is coming. Don't get sidetracked. He is coming, and he is looking for his bride. We are his bride. You can do it. You are doing it. We will make it until the end. Just stand firm. Stand firm. God has this. God has you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. And I pray that that treasure of the unseen, that the message of Jesus would reside in your hearts and in your lives. And as you come to the altar, I real quick just want to share something that hangs in my office at work. I've had many nurses and staff and even my clinical manager come in on a bad day and say, Linda, I just got to read that sign. They've taken a picture of the sign. The sign was found written on the walls of Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. I think that's what Stephen felt. I think he thought those people that stoned him were pretty unreasonable. I think he thought they were irrational and self-centered. But he said, forgive them. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. Thank you, Jesus, that he created anyway. Man has destroyed what God has created, but he created anyway, and tonight he's still creating. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. Be good. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Let it go. And tonight, if you need to let it go, let it go. If you're struggling to be happy, come to the altar and get your dose of happiness. If you need to forgive, allow your heart to let it go. and to forgive. If you need to be forgiven, come to the altar and receive the forgiveness of God. If you need kindness, if you need the fruit of the Spirit again, overflowing, come to the altar. If you just want to come into the presence of God and bask in His presence, come. Just come anyhow and let God renew, refill, and strengthen you tonight. He loves you. He loves you. There is no greater love.
Thank you.
are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Praise God. We all have hidden treasures that are given to us by God Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God bring those precious treasures out and let them be used for His glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you, Sister Brown, for the word of the Lord. Praise God. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we'll be here again. We'll be worshiping the Lord. Bring someone with you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.